The title of this morning's address is Reality Check. The most popular children's book so far for 2022 is The Velveteen Rabbit. The book was first published in 1922 and it has been in constant print for 100 years. Its author, Marjorie Williams Bianco, had very limited success with her adult books that she published, but The Velveteen Rabbit was an instant success and remains so. The story is about toys in a nursery. The toys come to life and they discuss some important philosophical questions. The oldest and wisest toy is a well-worn rocking horse that is the go-to for asking the important questions. One day, the Velveteen Rabbit is lying on the hearthrug in the nursery and suddenly asks Horse, "What is real?" Rabbit wonders if real means having things that buzz inside you and having a stick-out handle that you must wind up to set you going. "It isn't how you're made," explained the horse. "Being real is something that happens to you. When a child loves you for a very long time, you become real." Horse's answer, of course, is very beautiful. For these toys, being real means that they experience emotions and that they feel loved. So what is real? That seems a simple question. However, scientists, philosophers, and religions answer this question very differently. The scientists will probably say that real is what we experience through our senses. Those things we can see, hear, taste, feel, or smell. Real are things we can prove scientifically. The laws of gravity are real. Just for a moment, think of what is real for you now, for us here in the church. We might answer that we are sitting in the pews of the Unitarian Church, that we can feel the seat beneath us. We see the windows, the doors, the solid walls that support the roof. We can hear someone speak. And these things are real. However, quantum physics says that what we perceive to be solid objects are not solid at a micro level. The walls, the doors, consist of atoms, and there are spaces between those atoms. Things that appear solid, that we can agree about their physicality, are not quite what they seem. For thousands of years, philosophers have debated the nature of reality. They've tried to prove or disprove the existence of God, with remarkable little success and a certain amount of confusion. Because for every philosophical argument, there's always somebody who will argue the opposite. Religions teach very different accounts of reality. The monotheistic faiths teach that this life is nothing more than a test for entry into a richer, more satisfying life after our death. They say that God is constantly judging us. From the monotheistic viewpoint, this life is ultimately unimportant. Reality is in the next world. But other faiths teach that this life is one of many lives we are destined to live. Hinduism and its offshoot faith, Buddhism, are ancient philosophies that are grounded in the necessity of understanding the true nature of reality. Both Hinduism and Buddhism teach that, with few exceptions, people very few exceptions, everyone in the world lives with a distorted view of reality. Those raised in the Western traditions see reality as being separate from ourselves, outside ourselves in the world. We see reality as being objects, external events and circumstances. But the Eastern philosophy says that this understanding of reality is incorrect. In the Eastern traditions, reality is what is in your mind. Our thoughts create our reality. So just for a moment, think of the immensity of the universe. The universe is billions of light years in extent. It contains billions of galaxies. Planet Earth, where we live, is amazingly beautiful and complex. And amid all this grandeur, reality is what is happening in our skulls, between our brain, between our ears. The universe is still in the process of expansion. The Earth and the polar caps are melting. Volcanoes are creating new lands. Children are being born. People are dying. Wars are being fought. Yet my reality might be, did I forget to turn off the cooker before I came out? My reality might be some dreadful worry. It might be anger that I have towards somebody. The knowledge that our thoughts create our reality, if we have that knowledge, it is a tool that we can use to live a happier life. And a first step to changing the reality that's in our brain is to be aware of our thoughts. Every waking moment, thoughts arise in the human mind. And generally, those thoughts are short-lived and they're not important. They're replaced with new thoughts that are equally unimportant. We're hardly aware of them coming and going, and there's literally thousands and thousands every day. But when we live with this unawareness, we're not quite asleep, but neither are we fully awake. We really are in a daydream. Have you ever, or anyone ever said to you, or you say to somebody, you see them in this sort of daydream, and you say, a penny for your thoughts. No one can ever tell you what the thoughts are, because we're just lost in a mist, in a fog in our brain, with things that have no real substance. But there are times when our thoughts become stuck in an unhealthy pattern. We find that we are constantly rewinding the same old thoughts. Very often the thoughts we can't let go of are the negative, unwholesome ones. They're anger, worry, envy, regret. The universe is filled with wonders which we ignore in favor of our negative thoughts. And we create this reality. Another feature of our thought process is that a lot of the time, our thoughts are rooted in the past or in the future, and the past doesn't exist, neither does the future. So it's important that we become aware of our thoughts in the first step in the process of changing our pattern of thinking. When we try to change the pattern of thinking, we don't have to go in with a stick, as it were, and beat ourselves up. We don't need to judge our thoughts. Just be aware of them. Notice what you're thinking and the way your thoughts change. and notice how they influence your mood and your happiness. Changing our thought pattern is not achieved by flicking a switch. It is a skill to be learned and practiced every day. The Buddhist writer Hemish Sunim wrote about thoughts. Knowing our mind is just as important as trying to change the world. And we know we can't change the world, but if we change our thoughts, we will change our world, our reality. We can't change the world, we can only change our thoughts. When an unpleasant thought comes to the mind, don't hold on to it. Leave it alone, and usually it will just go away of its own accord. If the thought persists, be aware that it is happening, because they will persist. You will find yourself falling back into that unhelpful way of thinking. And what you do is you just observe yourself and what you're feeling at that moment when that thought comes. And you see, everything changes. That applies to what you feel as well. You will see that if you just sit with the feeling you're experiencing, that emotion will change. I was reading yesterday's Irish Times magazine and I learned a new word. Funambulism. Did anyone else read that article? Funambulism is tightrope walking. Walking a tightrope. I never knew it had a name. In Galway, there's a group of people using tightrope walking to promote more positive mental health. It seems that in Galway, around the River Corrib, there's been a spate of suicides, and someone had the idea of changing the atmosphere around the river, and they're going to have a festival to do it. COVID stepped in, though. But they're going to have it this year. But anyway, they got people interested in tightrope walking. And the article said, walking a tightrope needs courage and confidence. It also needs mental focus. Confidence and mental focus are the tools that help calm fears and anxiety. They calm the internal dialogue. That's what the Times is. And that's what we do with being aware of our thoughts, watching them, seeing them change, and making ourselves aware of them. We calm that internal dialogue. Walking a tightrope is a practice in mindfulness. Thoughts are stilled. The walker is totally in the present moment. During that walk, they feel utterly alive. I think the fact that some of them are walking across the River Corrib makes them feel even more alive. But if the mind is filled with noise and confusion, it eases. If your mind feels filled with noise and confusion, remember that noise and confusion is not in the world, it's in your head. If the mind is peaceful, the world will seem peaceful. If your mind is quiet, the world will seem quiet. The other great pearl of wisdom from the Eastern tradition is that in time, everything changes. Some changes are sudden and we notice them immediately. Other changes happen so slowly, it takes time to become aware that something has changed. But it is the nature of life that everything is changing. It's also in the nature of human beings to resist change. We like our rut to stay the same. Our refusal to accept change is one of the greatest contributors to unhappiness. So to be happy, we must embrace change. And of course, wise people don't label changes as being a good change or a bad change. They accept the change because change is the fabric of life. Our thoughts are like tending a garden. The plants we care for and nourish are the ones that will survive and thrive. Our task is to nourish positive, wholesome thoughts and allow the unwholesome ones to wither away. Reality is not outside in the world. The world simply is. The world is not too busy and it's not stressed. If I feel stressed or overwhelmed, that comes from within my mind, not from the world. What is real? Asked the rabbit. Real is what is in my head at any particular moment. It is vital that I am at least aware of what is in my head, to be aware of my reality that I am creating. Amen.